Remember that. I asked your question a little bit. Mm-hmm. Any other questions before we get going here? We're studying miracles still. Remember, we studied for about 4 or 5 weeks the reason for miracles. And what was the reason for the miracles? Let's go back and redo. What was the reason for the miracles? The purpose of the miracles.
Confirming the word.
To confirm the word of God. Okay? You can see that in these scriptures, John 3 and 2, Hebrews 2 and 4, Mark. Now, mark Mark 16 out, because that's not in, really in the original language. Okay? And I don't know why Bogard put that in there, but that is not in the original language. That from Mark chapter 16, verses 9 on, it's been added many, many years later. That was not in there. Okay? And then how long did the miracles continue?
To
the completion of the Word of God. And we see that also in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. Remember when we studied all of this? Okay. Ephesians 4, 4 through 14, John 2 and 11, and Micah 7, 15. Now, also, verse 3, or number 3 in this study, the devil is a miracle worker. The devil is a miracle worker. We see in the charismatic movement out there. How many of you ever watched any of that on television? Benny Hinn and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you hear the Word of God preached at all? This is a religious service.
It's all about him knocking people out.
Yeah, it's all about him slaying people in the spirit and things. It's not about Jesus. It's not about the Word of God. It's not about. And people go there that are lost.
I don't think I've ever seen an altar call.
Well, they have a healing call.
But not an altar call for salvation.
No. There are a lot of lost people there. My wife was telling me about one of her friends here when she was growing up. She was a school teacher, and she got cancer. And she joined the Christian Science Church. Christian Scientist. Well, that's about as far from the truth as it can be. It's not Christian, it's not scientific, either one. They deny the existence of matter. Everything is spiritual. The only way that you'll ever get sick is if you think in your mind that you have a physical body and that it is sneezing and coughing and feels bad. Because it's really not there. Now, how many of you knew that? About Christian Science, okay? Anyway, her friend got cancer and she never would go to the doctor. And she died. Of course. Mary Baker Eddy died, which was a founder of it. She isn't living forever. Remember I told you a long time ago about this woman, my grandmother. She was baptizing people in her bathtub, and anybody she baptized that she told they would never die. Well, Mary Baker Eddy did the same thing. You believe in my doctrines and my teaching, and you will never be sick, and you will never die. Now, that sounds fantastic, doesn't it? But do you know how many people are adhering to that thing? That sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
It seems like it goes together with that church that doesn't believe in medicines.
Well, same thing.
The doctors and the kids died from treatable diseases.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses have a whole lot the same thing. They're it's a cult. Herbert Armstrong did the same thing. Gardner Ted Armstrong. All of them are of the same ilk. It's demonic. But do they heal people like this thing that's so great among the movie stars?
Yeah.
Scientology.
That's just L. Ron Hubbard and all this stuff. You think yourself wealthy and you think yourself well. Bill, how would you... Well, I don't know. You just thank yourself anyway, and you're there. That's nice, Lord. So good for you, brother. But how would you like to take $1 million in the bank and just get it?
I'd be like a kid that just signed up $70 million contract, and his mother going to know how he was going to pay tithes on it. I'd have the same problem. If I could do it, my first thought was, when you said that, how did you pay tithes?
You know, this theology is interwoven into all kinds of theologies.
Yes,
or
it
that,
is.
What's it called? Prosperity doctrines?
Yes.
Just it's up there, just pray it down to yourself?
That's super hyper charismatic stuff.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's all you tithe to me, and you will get 10 times more. You give me $100, you get $1,000 in the bank. You just wait and see, it's going to come. The prosperity doctrine. All of these things are very, people are materialistic and physical, aren't they? You get a person that's dying, and they're going to grab at a lot of straws, even Christian Science, even faith healing. I went out to, how many of you ever remember A.A. Allen? Nobody's that old. He was an alcoholic, but he was a charismatic preacher. And I used to go out to the fairgrounds, and I saw him. I knew people that he was supposed to heal and everything like this. And he would get people up there. And I mean, you would drag yourself up there. They would be sick with cancer, crippled, whatever else. And of course, he had a lot of props. He had people coming there and dragging himself, and then they run off, jumping and hopping all over the stage, and he paid them to do that. That was an absolute fact. But he would fill these gigantic tents, and people would be on the outside of them, couldn't even get in them. I've been there. And then the one that built the hospital in Oklahoma.
Oral Roberts.
He was a faith healer, but he built a hospital. He said one time that God said that if he didn't get some people in sending so many dollars, that God was going to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that?
I remember that.
Yeah, he did that on Tuesday.
God ought to kill him. Except Satan takes good care of his own. You better remember that all the time. Satan takes care of his own. The devil is a miracle worker. The devil... These people, the talking in tongues, the slaying in the spirit. How many of you have ever been in a service where they did any of these things? Have you?
Yeah.
Assemblies. Assembly of God, Pentecostal, full gospel churches, all this kind of stuff. My poor, old, dying stepfather. He was like a father to me. He was my dad. But I took him. He was raised in this stuff. And at the last few hours of his life, he was dying of lung cancer, but I took him every day to a charismatic church. He said, "Son, please take me to church." Well, I don't take him to church. I know what he's wanting to go to. I took him to churches in Taft and Chapter and Washington, and all over the Bakersfield, just everywhere. And he couldn't even walk down the aisle. He was so sick, but he would go. I'd help him down the aisle, finally pushed him down the aisle in a wheelchair. Now, knowing what I know, but you know what I was praying for him to be saved. I prayed that I didn't care if he talked in tongues or whatever happened to him. It didn't make any difference. That I wanted to see that man saved. And he always thought all his life that if he was saved, that he would humiliate God because he couldn't hold out faithful to the end. And he would not be saved because he did not want to dishonor God. I never saw such an honest man in my life as my dad in those ways, like that. And I knew one thing, that if he talked in tongues, or if they slayed him in the spirit, it wasn't going to be any fake business on his part. It was going to have to be pure demonic. Pure other powers, but it never happened. He went down there, and of course, I'm a Baptist, Bill. Have any doubts about that? Nobody that I know does. I go down there, and I go down and pray at the altar. I'd be praying over at the altar. They come over there laying hands on me, you know. I went through a lot of stuff here for the last couple of 3 months of his life, going through this. I was even staying out of church before I was preaching and teaching, taking him to this deal. I was teaching at a church in town. I was taking him instead of doing that because I wanted to help him. And then they started saying it's his fault that you're not getting the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's bad. He is a bad person. And they said, what are you doing? So I said, I'm not doing anything. I said, I'm praying for him. I said, I'm praying for you that you'll lead him to salvation. They didn't. I mean, they weren't interested in salvation, people. They were interested in showing off their showy gifts like the Corinthian church. And it was not of God. Finally, just before he died, a week before he died, he went down so fast. A week before he died, I took him to a church service and they laid aside all of their healing business. And they prayed for him to be saved. And they went down and I prayed with him and then they gave him the assurance of salvation. They told him that he had done what God expected of him and everything. And they're sorry that none of this other stuff happened. But that he was going to go to heaven and that everything. And I mean, I don't know what. I've never seen him do that, have you? I haven't ever seen one of them churches do that. But my prayers were answered, and I praise God that they were answered because he knew the Lord then. And they apologized. They just told him, you know, Dusty, you're not going to live. God has not chosen to heal me and all this. And I read him scriptures in the Bible and everything, and I dealt with him. And he looked at me finally, I mean, just barely when he had life left in him, he said, Jim, you were right all the time about all this stuff. And he said, I was wrong. And I never even answered him. But I wasn't right. God was right. Truth was right. All I did was teach the truth. And I saw it, and I never saw. I really prayed for these people. And that they would get off of their bandwagon and come down to the truth where they could at least lead somebody to salvation. You know, I mean, and then they did, and it happened. And the people came and they did his funeral and everything. And it was a good funeral, and they talked. And then they talked about me, the faithful son that had taken him to church and all that kind of stuff that was, you know, that he loved so much and everything. Because I did. I was faithful to him. I took him. Even to the wrong church. But I prayed for them, and they finally laid that stuff aside long enough for him to be saved. But it wasn't their normal state of affairs. God overruled that because of prayer. God overruled it because of prayer.
You know, Jim, Mary Baker Eddy had three husbands, and they all died of poisoning. And at the end of her death, she was locked in. She locked herself in a room, afraid that someone was going to poison her.
Yeah. And give them confidence.
That's the demise of someone who is not of God.
Yeah. You know, people like that, that are people that are wicked and do wicked things, always say that somebody else is doing it. They're always, a person that is very bad will always pick on the shortcomings of somebody else. And what it is they're really pointing out their own error and their own life is what they're doing. And, of course, since she was a killer, she thought somebody was going to kill her.
And Joseph Smith was shooting his way out of jail. It was those other people's fault that he was in jail.
Yeah, it was those other people's fault. He was going to try to overturn the United States. He was starting a coup inside the nation. And they were putting down the coup. He was a terrorist. Huh?
And
today he's a martyr.
could kill?
Well, in the shootout, he got a hold of a gun, and in the shootout, he killed a woman and another man.
Yeah.
In the shootout. And according to Mormon religion, if you kill somebody, you go into hell, there's no redemption. But they don't believe he ever had a gun and ever shot anybody. Because their prophet can't go to hell.
Yeah, their prophet can't go to hell. And by the way, we're talking about the devil's religion. Look at the next one. Number four. The devil has attractive creatures. What attracts people to Joseph Smith's doctrines?
Family orientation.
Family orientation. Does the Bible talk about family orientation? Is that true? Is that something that is very important in our culture today? Because in America, your children are programmed to turn against you in school. Did you know that? Programmed to turn against you. Your children are programmed to be atheists and evolutionists. Especially if they go to the schools of higher learning, so-called, where you are, Brother Ken, and where you work all day. The universities of destruction. If you go through one of them and come out of there, all right, you've got some great foundation.
Yes. It's weird because if you go in there without any kind of Christian background,
you're done for.
Yeah.
I mean, you wonder why that people are killing each other and eating each other and doing all kinds of bad things. They have a show, a movie, about two people back in the Midwest, I believe, that killed a little boy, murdered him, and without any conscience at all, borderline personality disorder is what it's called, where you have no conscience. And anything that you do to somebody else is justified because you're the most important person in the world. Ayn Rand, that's the doctrine of her philosophy. Whatever you do for you is good. People, we are ruled by this today. All of the shows that the lawyers in this country, which are supposed to be upholding the law, are professional liars. These people are rats. They're supposed to be upholding justice. They twist justice. But they're supposed to be the ones that are upholding justice. And how? Why? What is behind all of this immoral behavior? Immoral institutions that train people to be immoral. That train people. We know what sodomites are, don't we? Let's see now. Tell me about sodomites. What's the old slang term for sodomite?
For sodomite?
Sodomite.
Queer.
They used to call them queers because their behavior was crooked and queer. And we also called it something twisted. It's called... that's another term. Perverted.
Perverted.
Perversion. What is perversion? What is perversion? The term means to make something straight crooked. Romans, the first chapter, in great detail, tells about the sin of homosexuality. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where we are now, says that no queer will ever get to heaven. Not as a queer. You can be saved in this life as a homosexual, but if you are, you won't be one anymore. God would kill you if you did that then, because that's one sin that it is terrible. All right? There won't be any of those in heaven. None. God's not going to open the door to it. But this is an alternative lifestyle that is taught from the very early grades in school.
I don't know if you read in the paper last week, they had a doctor on the ship, if she was a psychologist or something, she's coming out with a new book that's basically saying that, you know, how all this is happening with the priests and everything, and how they're molesting children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, her book is basically saying that adults can have relationships with children and that it won't, and that it's not bad.
Yeah, I heard
it up there. Did you read that? And I can't believe it. I'm reading this. And this is a professional.
She's writing this book of self-justification.
Wrote this book saying that as long as the child wants to do it, wants to experience his sexuality or her sexuality, then there's nothing wrong with them being with an adult. And
well, these are the educators.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are natives. Brother, you work among this every day, don't you? You're out there going to school among them.
I know, I'm personally.
Yeah, you. This is... The devil has attractive preachers. What are these people doing in the schools?
Preaching.
They're preaching.
Yeah, they are.
What is preaching?
Teaching.
Preaching is teaching doctrines. Mm-hmm. Now... Is the term alternative lifestyles a doctrine?
Mm-hmm.
Sure is. How about this psychological problem? You have what we call Christian psychologists and psychiatrists, and you have worldly ones. Having to deal with this thing with my daughter, I've had to learn a lot about this. I've had the deep delve. I've had to dig deep into these perverted minds of these people. It's terrible. Stuff that you don't even want to, wish you never knew.
But you have to study them to figure out where it's coming from.
Have to figure it out, where it's coming from. And you know what? The law is on their side. The law is on their side. It protects them. Why does the law protect them? Because of the crooked lawyers and the crooked, twisted, perverted judges and the perverted, twisted system that we live under. All of it is twisted. How did it get that way?
Twisted people.
They were educated to be crooked. That's right.
You know, what I've noticed is that the educators are more twisted than the actual professions that they're teaching. So if you'll have like a biologist in the field doing his work, is less environment and is less evolutionary radical than the teacher is teaching.
Yeah.
So
it seems like
the most radical, most extreme teachers.
The devil takes care of his own, brother.
Yeah.
These are preachers. These are the devil's preachers in these schools. And Satan will clear the path for them. But you take the scientists and the technicians out there in the scientific world, the majority of them don't believe in evolution.
Yeah.
I read the story. I read a disclaimer, I guess, what it was, in a newspaper by the Catholic Church. You know, for so many years, the Catholics believed that the world was flat. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They demanded that the Bible taught that the world was flat. Of course, does the Bible teach the world's flat?
No.
No, it doesn't. It teaches the world's a sphere. It talks about the universe and how things go under circle and circuits and everything, just exactly like it scientifically is. Okay? But they have the perverted idea. Now, this compare this dark ages with the ages of darkness that we live in. Mm-hmm. We have an educated dark age now.
Mm-hmm.
not an educated age of enlightenment. Out of the dark ages came the age of enlightenment. Was it so called? The Renaissance, the renewal. All right? All of a sudden, people shook the chains of Catholicism off and their twisted ideas of Scripture and started reading Scripture for themselves. And they shook it off, and finally, during the what we call the Protestant Revolution during that time, which was always there anyway, but they lined up with the Baptists and of all that came down and put up with that stuff all through the ages. Now, if you were a Baptist in the Dark Ages, and we're talking a long time, what were you considered?
A heretic.
A heretic and a witch.
Yeah, enemy to the empire.
And enemy to the state, all this. Now, if you go out there, now I teach in a public school out there, and the school teacher that I work with, I thank God for. She's a saved woman. And she picks out books for these kids to read. And how many of you are here on Wednesday night? Just about all of you? Mm-hmm. I brought an illustration from the book that I had read to the class, which is a true story that happened in Idaho Falls, Idaho. That story called Stone Fox. Now, I read that to those kids. And all the time I'm teaching and reading this to the kids, the teacher and the principal is over there listening to me. And a teacher told me last week, she said, "Man, you've got more illustrations than anybody I read." She said, "It's bottomless." She said, "You just come through these stories and every word and everything, you just keep throwing these illustrations out. It's gone." She said, "I can't believe it." She said, "I wish I had at my desk the illustrations to put all of these things into well-being." And always she said, "As you've read this story, you were telling this thing, and then you were comparing that child with the children of today. How that he was raised in a moral society, and how they were raised in a selfish society." I didn't say that now, but I said it.
You
bobbed your head and sneaked. All right.
You got to get sued and thrown in jail.
That's right.
How did your sneak get underhand?
Anyway, I said, now back in the culture of this day, and this was so beautiful. This was before Social Security. Mm-hmm. This was when people in America took care of each other. And the children were expected to take care of their parents and their grandparents. And this grandfather had a stroke and was laying in his house, and he owned the farm. It was actually in Idaho, a potato farm in Idaho. And this boy just took on the responsibility. A 10-year-old boy was going to be a man and run this farm. And the horse had died. And he hooked up his husky dog and plowed the fields with it and got the potato in and put him and sold him and took care of his grandfather and waited on him and cleaned him and fed him. I said, "What are you doing today as a 10-year-old boy child? What are you guys doing?" "What do you mean?" "Playing soccer. Hockey. That's all you're thinking about." You know, I said, "See now, think now." I said, "You have to think back at a whole culture that was so different than yours." And when they started reading this book, they hated it. It was a sad story. They didn't want to hear this story. And one of all these guys, I took it home and read it one night in my living room, and my wife's tears are going down her face, and the corner, boom! And she's crying up a storm, you know, I mean, for this little boy named Willie and his dog named Searchlight. And these are stories of moral structure. You read stories like that, like the McGuffey readers have in them, and I don't really even know what a McGuffey reader is. I got a whole set of them and all. You read stories like that, and that's the moral backbone of a nation. But when you swap with the hogs, you smell like the hogs. And our education stinks. It stinks. The education of America stinks. It's terrible. Because it's not education, it's perversion. And they are the devil's attractive creatures. They are the doctors. Ken came to me here I don't know, a year or two ago now, I can't remember that. And he said, when I was teaching Greek and grammar and things, I throw grammar at you. We teach the Bible on Wednesday night in the Greek reading and research, and it's really advanced reading and research. But I throw grammar in there, but I teach the Scriptures. I wouldn't have ever studied Greek or Hebrew if it wouldn't have been for the foundation basis of understanding the original inspired Word of God. That's the purpose of it. Anyone out there, and he was talking to some doctor, your English professor, and he didn't understand the terms I used at all.
Didn't know aorist tense.
Didn't know aorist tense. Didn't know what in the world it was. He didn't know. I didn't understand. He's a PhD, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't know what aorist tense was. Almost everybody in my class knows what aorist tense is. Even Dakota knows that. Mm-hmm. But punctiliar action, point time action.
Well, what we're doing now is instead of preparing a child to be a productive person in society, we're preparing a child just to pass the test at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you focus so narrowly, you don't teach anything.
Well, doctors. Is the devil's doctrines attractive?
Yeah.
We're talking about education today. That's what we're talking about. When you evangelize somebody, you educate them. Did you know that? Is the devil, are his preachers attractive? They get up and they talk and they got PhDs and all this kind of stuff. I earned two doctorates. And hardly anybody calls me doctor. A PhD and a doctor of Bible languages. I don't care whether they call me doctor or not. It doesn't matter what I'm going to wear. They were calling me doctor right and left over there.
Dr. Jim.
Yeah, Dr. Jim. But so what? Because I tell you what a doctorate does. If you learn a doctorate, all you did is learn how to learn. That's all. You didn't learn anything. You just began to learn. That's all. Give you a license to understand and learn a few things. If they think a doctorate is the highest degree, you learn after you get your doctorate. All you learn how to do is learn when you get your doctorate. That's kindergarten. So to speak. Kindergarten. Well, the devil has attractive preachers, and the devil is attractive. How many of you really like the new styles that the young people are wearing? Who would bleach their hair out and dye it red, white, and blue, or purple and green, or yellow, or some other color?
Mm-hmm.
Who would do that? Why on earth would anybody want to look like that?
Red, white, blue.
Mm-hmm. Naturally. Why would anybody be attracted to that? Naturally.
You know, they had a guy on Earthlings, believe it or not. And he was an Indian from he's making himself to look like a tiger.
Yeah, I think I saw that changing the teeth.
And he tattooed spots on his face.
No, the stripes of the tiger. He had his hair long, he's got contacts in to make it look like cat eyes. He chiseled his teeth.
He put in fangs
and things on his face to make himself look. And he says he started that because of his Indian tradition.
American Indian. He also implanted plastic wolf whiskers into his cheeks. So they could.
This was on Ripley's? Is that on the television today?
Yes.
Yeah.
They got a Ripley's, believe it or not, today, huh?
There's also a lizard.
An electrician.
That cut his tongue in two.
Yeah.
Surgically, so he has two tongues like this.
Like a snake.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
And this was on the surface.
But I was just curious because he said he did it because of his Indian background.
Well,
they don't have any real Indians going there to counteract it, you know?
Yeah.
I wrote a book on Indian culture. A lot of the Indian culture today is perverted and twisted because it was forgotten. The real basis was forgotten. I wrote a book called The Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian, and volume two is almost finished.
Yeah, almost finished.
I've been working on that. But that gives a real basis, and the real basis of the American Indian culture was the Bible, what God had taught these people when the earth was divided. And this was not part of it. They may claim that. They may think about this. Now, this New Age thing has come about, and a lot of them are lining up with the American Indians and dragging them into it because they don't have a foundation. Their foundation was lost. They're looking for the flying saucers to come back. Jesus is coming back in a flying saucer.
Yeah.
Really? The Indians, oh, it was told us 100 years ago. Well, Tonka Sheila was coming back. You know, the sun was coming back. That's the sun in Lakota, Tonka Sheila. The Holy Spirit's gone, Taku's gone, gone. The Father is Wakan Tonka. There was a name for all of the what we call the Trinity or the Triune God. They understood Him, how He was, because that's what Noah knew. All of humanity knew the truth once. But as it, you know, on our coins, you pull out a coin, look at it, in God we trust.
I'm
surprised
they haven't taken that off
yet. Well, they're trying to.
That was only put on in the late 50s.
Yeah. In God we trust. But in God we don't trust. We got a war going on over in the Middle East called the War on Terrorism, which is hogwash. That's a war for oil and land and property. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what's going on. But we call it a war on terrorism. Well, there's a problem there. We caused it. But there's a problem there. It's there. We have it.
You know, Jim, we were talking about attractions. You just said a minute ago, what attracts the people, the girls with red, white, and blue hair and things like that? Feltel was telling me yesterday about making a road call, service call, and there was a girl and a boy there, and this was the most beautiful young lady that he had ever seen. And the guy that was looking was the most scraggly guy he had ever seen, and she was picking fleas out of his hair. I mean, he was that dirty. And his comment to me was, what attraction does she have to that? She was clean, I mean, and beautiful, he said. And, but it was, the bottom word is just satanic.
It's attraction. It is a drawing. It is an animal attraction. Why does a handsome man, clean cut, be attracted to one of those women like that? Why would a beautiful woman like that be attracted to a man that is filth? How many of you have seen the new hairstyles, Bill? We'll never have this problem. We will never have this problem where their hair is matted. They want their hair to be in mats. It's matted. Like it was never combed, never. And in there, like it, they've got lice and fleas and all this kind of stuff in this hair. How could you possibly ever clean it? Because it's matted. And it's hanging down in strings. They have not the color. Has any professors look like that out the college?
Yeah.
There's one at UC.
Yeah.
Like that.
I mean, can you imagine, look like, how many of you have ever seen an old sheepdog, or come over and look at my goat?
Yeah.
A goat. It's got hair like that.
Yeah.
Who would be attracted to that but another goat?
Opposites attract. Jim, I tell you what I seen real fast when I picked up some things the other day. This guy had his head shaved like this, around here. And then the top was dreadlocks coming out, which I just thought about that. And it was two guys. And it took me about, you know, I kept staring and staring, and finally I figured out that one of them was a girl.
Oh, gosh.
You know, but they were shaved right around here like this, just completely bald, and then all of this was in dreadlocks about this long. I've never seen anything that, I've seen some bad stuff, but that's what's happened. But finally I realized that one of them was a girl.
You get the... to a religion where they take cow poop and rub it in their hair. Wash their hair in the urine of a Brahma and rub it all over themselves and say that that's intelligent. That's religious. I'm going to tell you something. That's what's teaching our children today.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's educating people in the colleges. Because you know what? As far as these universities are concerned, they have more honor, these gurus that are doing this, than our preachers that are preaching in the pulpits. Because the preachers in the pulpits are controlling and... perverting your minds.
Brainwashing
you. Mm-hmm. Well, has this been an interesting study today? I hope it has. I hope it hasn't been too boring. The devil is attractive. There are miracles at the beginning of each dispensation. I want you to think about that next week. That's what we're going to study next Sunday morning.
To usher in the
miracles are at the beginning of each new dispensation. Look here. Look down here. Now look at this. As you go home this week, look at all the miracles that took place here.
What's the dispensation after the tribulation?
The dispensation of the tribulation period.
Oh, that's the dispensation.
Rapture.
All right.
Tribulation.
The first great miracle is the rapture. All right? The rapture. That's where everybody's going to disappear. And even with that, people are going to follow Satan.
Just like Elijah.
Elijah was a... and Enoch were a type of that also. Now, there are miracles at the beginning of the kingdom of Israel. You know, this 7 year period of tribulation here, who are going to be doing most of the miracles during this time?
The devil's
going to be doing most of, performing most of the miracles during that period of time, and then God is going to fight. But according to public opinion, God is going to lose during that period of time. What happens to the two witnesses? Whoever they are, whether John and Daniel or two people that are raised up at that time, or Enoch or Elijah, or whoever, there's really good evidence for all of these things. And I don't know who the two witnesses are at all. I mean, I've read all the studies on those things, and I don't know who they are.
Well, God's notorious for bringing up two nobodies.
Yeah, it could be nobody's. Somebody that's alive in the world today. Many people think it's Enoch and Elijah because they never died. But Enoch and Elijah were a type of the rapture. How would you like to get raptured and then have to die? So there's good evidence that they aren't the ones.
Okay. Yeah, it's not Benny Hinn.
Huh?
It's not Benny Hinn.
They're going to be brought back to life, though.
Yeah, I'm 3.5 days. Yeah. But they're going to be murdered.
Or the two people that Jesus was in the transfiguration?
Moses
and Elijah were there. That's transfiguration working. All right. Just think about that. The miracles at the beginning of each dispensation and then rules of interpretation. We're going to really go into that this next week. All right? Who, what, where, when, and why? All right. Who, what, where, when, and why? Remember that. That's exactly the same rules of interpretation that I teach in history and literature and reading. And as I teach these little guys there in the third grade, these are a blooming bunch. These are just, they are just learning how to read and just exploding. Their intelligence is exploding. Who, what, where, when, and why? If I can only get them in the future to interpret the Bible the same way. If I tell them that, and, you know, but I can't say that. All I can do is point them that direction. That's all I can do.
Did you know they were teaching the Quran in
schools
in California?
The Quran? But they weren't what preach the Bible.
Right. They were having them even memorize verses and...
Well, in the Middle East, the only thing you learn there in schools is the Quran. Mm-hmm. That's all you learn. That is the basis of all education there, is the Quran.
Yeah. A dumb population is an easily controlled population.
Yeah, that's what happened during the Dark Ages, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I sure appreciate your attention today and your faithfulness of coming here. Any of you want any of those messages from last Wednesday night? The one that I last Wednesday on Revelation? Last week, I brought some of them today.
That was
21:6,
right?
21:6, yeah. That was the one.
I'd like to get one.
Yeah, okay.
Here's
here it is. Do you want one?
You can have one.
You want one?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 86. Anyway, that was... Were you here?
Right. No.
You were here on that one. You want one of them, too? Okay.
That was the one.
That's how you can use and make illustrations out of things.
You know which one I would like? It's the one that day we talked about hell.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was in the Revelation or...
I can't remember. But I've done that 2 or 3 times. Maybe I'll give you the one that I preached on hell when Fernando was saved. If I could find it, I know I've seen it.
Oh, the news. I called my uncle.
Uh-huh.
And he'll let you use his reel-to-reel.
Well, great.
So we can record.
Okay. That's great.
I'll just get a couple more in the future.
Okay. That's what my ordination sermon is on reel-to-reel. Yeah.
And so we can bring it over to your house?
That's great. I'd love to do that. That's the only way I can do it. Yeah. So, anyway, thank you for your attention today. And... Brother Norm, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, how good it is to be in your house today and discuss your word and for you to teach us. Father, we thank you for your word. Guide our paths, light our ways. Help us, Father, as we go through our lives to use this. We pray for those that we have concern about. We pray for those who are not saved. We just pray that, Lord, you would speak to them through us. Give us the strength and the compassion to do this. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.